to the ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
So this morning, we will start out today, next week, and then we climax this series of teaching. I titled this one this morning, Ekklesia. Ekklesia is a Greek word. It's E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A or E-C-C-L-E-S-I-A. We will understand very soon what that word means. And for those of you who are already Bible scholars who are prof in theology, as I mentioned that word, you already know what it means. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Everyone joining us online, welcome this morning. We acknowledge your amiable presence. But if you live in Lagos, Nigeria, we are back in church. So resume church. I say that again. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Let's see how this church, the idea of the church began. Of course, we had church in the Old Testament, Moses, the people name. You can read all about that, but it's still a type of what is to come. But let's see what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 16. I read verses, let me pick it from verses 17 to 20. It said, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. So some people said it was John the Baptist. Other people said it was Elijah. Other people said it was Jeremiah. Other people said it was just one of the prophets. But Jesus, talking to his own disciples, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I said to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Can we read that same rendering in the Amplified Classic, please? From verse 15. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, the Son of the Living God. I just want you so please take note. Let's go back to verse 16 again. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, the Son of the Living God. That is the revelation on which the church is built. In that conversation, Jesus didn't say Peter is the foundation of the church. That revelation, by the Spirit of God that He is the Christ, He is the Messiah, He is the Anointed One, He is the Son of God. That insight, that light, that is the basis on which the church of Jesus was founded after Jesus exited. So on the day of Pentecost, you saw what happened. But this morning, I just want us to understand this so that we can understand what is this whole thing about the church. What is this whole thing? Five things I want to quickly say. Number one, God is the one who established His church. God is the one who established His church. And He established His church on the sacrifice of His Son. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul made an assertion. He says, take care and be guard for yourself. Can we read it? Thank you. He said, therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church, that's the emphasis, the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. So God established His church. He is the one who established His church. And maybe I should let you know there is what is called the universal church, which means the body of Christ as a whole. And if you put it in the context of the local church, which is part of the universal body of Christ, God is the one who has established this whole church thing. God is the one who has that capacity to bring people from every nation, from every creed together, to bring people. Maybe, for example, there are over 400 ethnic languages in Nigeria. And you will find out that this morning, some people can't even speak English. But in their own language, this morning, some people can't speak English. So, Spanish, Portuguese. So, God is the one who established His church. That's the first thing I want to say to us this morning. Secondly, God who established His church is also committed to build His church. He said, you are Peter upon this rock. I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thirdly, because God is a builder, God has built a triumphant church. It's a triumphant church. So everything we do, we revel in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He said, when I build, even the gates of hell cannot contain what I have built. So God established His church. God is committed to building His church. That's why you read what Paul said in one place. He said, the church of the living God is the ground and the pillar of truth. That's why you read in another place, he says, God is the one who gives the key to His church. And that, in fact, it's our test. Whatever His church, when they understand the authority that they have, whatever is bound on the heart is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed here on the heart is loosed in heaven. So God has established a triumphant church, not a struggling church, not a one that is trying to find its voice in a broken world like ours. The church may have been politicized, but the church wasn't founded on politics. The church may have been torn into private property, but that wasn't the original intention. So God established His church. God is committed to build his church. God has established a triumphant church. The fourth thing is that Jesus is coming back for his glorious church. The word says, the church that he has prepared from every nation, from every creed. So he has not left us to figure things on our own. He will come back for his glorious church. A church that is without spot or, no what? Wrinkles. And then fifthly this morning, the church has never been defeated by persecution. We need to understand that. Trials may rage. I mean, you can read history. What people have done against the church. But because of the way he funded it, the church has outlasted many of those things. Is it emperors or domains or kingdoms? Even in our own country here, there are people who have done many things against the church. There was a time in the 1980s that, I mean, the Christian Association in this country, they imported Bible. We never see those Bible up till now. Because some people conspired and they sang that Bible on the high sea. But we knew what their hand was. So there is never anything that will militate against the church. Why? The owner of the church says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For your information, China, as deadly as it is, that's one of the fastest places on the earth that the churches are growing. It may not be your regular church like this. They call themselves, I mean, cell churches. They don't have Bibles on them, but they go into the right, into the underground. They don't walk the way we drive. No, you hide, but you are going to church. And that tells you how powerful this church is. We have the privilege to carry our iPad Bible, but in some places, even in Afghanistan, I read a report, the gospel has opened up in that place. So the church is that very powerful force on the heart. I said all that to let you know that when God saved you, you are not just to believe, but to belong. So you are saved, you believe, so that you can become. It is a family. Ephesians chapter 3. I think verse 16. Let's read what it says. 15 or 14. Either 14 or 15. When he says, I bowed my knee. Yeah, this is what I'm looking for. Can we pick it from 14? It says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So, you are saved, you believe, and then you are saved to belong to God's family. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He said, he has delivered us. I mean, you still remember your Sunday school story. How God created man in his own image, in his own likeness. How man, for whatever reason, he gave heed to the deception of the enemy. And how man was cast out of the garden. The reason why man came out of that, or was cast out of that garden, is that God does not behold iniquity, and you can't be living in sin and enjoy eternal life. So he had to take them out, and at the fullness of time, of course, he gave a word that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of Satan. Genesis 3:15. So at the right time, Jesus came. And when they saw Jesus, people like John says, behold, the Lamb of God, John 1:29. who takes away the sins of the whole world. He says concerning Jesus in Matthew 1, he said, you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He said, you will call him Emmanuel, because God is with us. So, if you remember that story very well, at salvation, he called us. One translation says, Colossians 1:13, he said, from the dominion of darkness. Another one says, from the regions of darkness. He called us into, I love this one. He said, he conveyed us. So, we were delivered from darkness into light. From death to life. From sickness to health. From weakling to strength. You can go on and on like that. The word salvation is from that Greek word, sozo, which gives a total redemption. A total is not partial. A total redemption. And that redemption has brought to us preservation. He has brought to us health and wholeness. He has brought to us deliverance. He has brought to us victory. Victory. It's not something that is partial. But you see, we need to understand that. So what is the church? Is that Greek word, ecclesia? Is that word, hek, that says to be called out? To be called out. Ecclesia means we are called into an assembly. Can you see how people got the name of churches now? The word ecclesia means a parliament. The word ecclesia means a special set of people. 1 Peter 2:9 explained it. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called us to show forth the praises of him. He called us from a disadvantaged position to a position of advantage. The psalmist saw this ahead of time. He says, the heavens, Psalm 115, even the heavens belongs to God. So God respects boundaries. But he has the representative here. He said, but the heart belongs to the sons of men. It's a complete package. And so he called us into the body of Christ, into his family. He also called us into a local assembly like we are to make decisions that will affect our society. That's why we pray. That's why we represent him. That's why we make decrees. In Revelation, he said he has called us to be kings and priests. To be kings and priests. He washed us in his own blood. Somebody says, how did that happen? When you get to heaven, ask him. But because you will know all things, we would have been changed. So there will be no room for you to be asking such questions. It is a mystery. The church is a place of strength. The church is the ground and the pillar of truth. The church is the most important, if you permit the use of my word, institution in the whole world. The church is the pillar of civilization. The church is the pillar of transformation. He said, out of Zion shall proceed the law. So we are the group of called out one. And you know the interesting thing? Because of the brokenness in our world, it's very easy to attack the church as a weakling. No. God doesn't raise weaklings. Said the strength shall come from Zion. And you know, in our natural world, I've never seen somebody who approached an herbalist and says he wants to make sacrifice. And so here is lion. No. No matter how crazy people are, you don't take lion for sacrifice. Assuming you know how to tame it, you can't. Even if you tame it, you tame it in a cage. You can't take lion. And this Jesus is the lion. So there is no counsel against him. There is no conspiracy. He upheld all things by the word of his power. Nothing can take him out. The Bible says he was here from the beginning. Said in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him, nothing that was made was made. And then John now says in verse 13, 12 and 13, he said, as many as received him, to them, or he shared with them, the third person of the Trinity. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus. So it's not a different Holy Ghost. The same one that raised Jesus, that death and grave could not hold. That's the one that lives in us. You know, if you don't understand some of these things, you may develop mindset like, we are going to church. You are the church. You may develop mindset like you are welcome into his presence. You are the presence. Say, how do I know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's quickly read something. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. Am I in the right? 6. I think it's 6. 6, 19, 20. It said, do you not know? So it's possible for us not to know. That your body, your heartless suits, what gives you recognition and personality here, is the temple. So you can use the word church, temple, sanctuary. Can you give us this same verse in Amplified? Let's see how it renders it. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit? You know, it's not ito. So that's why you can see capital H. Who lives within you? You see, it is a personality, capital H, whom you have received as a gift from God. You are not your own. I think we need to emphasize that in an old age that we live in. It's my life. It's not your life. If you are saved, I can live it the way I want to live it. No. A servant is subject to his master. Said, you were bought. The same word bought is the same word redeemed. We were ready for doom, but he redeemed us. So, from darkness into life, from weakness into strength, that's what the church is. So, we were purchased with the preciousness and then paid for. We were made his own. So then, our devotion, our commitment is to him. So we honor God and bring glory to him. So the church is not the building. The building is a designated place. You know that we can carry here now to Sheraton and we do church there, isn't it? We can carry it outside under the park at Alausa, and we still do church because we are fulfilling the mandate. He said, we are two or three gathered together, as long as that quorum is, church happens. As long as there are people. And the binding force is that we've been redeemed. So, we believe to belong. We don't go to his presence. We don't go to church. We are the carrier of his presence. We are his presence. And then we are planted in his family. We are not nomadic believers. We are planted, and we need to understand that. We are planted in the universal church, and then we should be planted in the local church. You say, why? Psalm 92. Verses 12 to 14 in the Amplified. There's something God has done. I've never seen trees that move from that valley. And then before we come next Sunday, he's moved here. And he says, we say, why? He said, no, I want to be part of the worship. We will first cut the tree because it's out of place. He said, the uncompromisingly righteous, because when you are planted in his family, it's expected that you flourish. For those of us who are farmers here, every part of palm tree is useful. Every part. Go and make your research. The kernel, the one you remove out of the kernel is there where you break it, the shell, the palm front, of the palm tree, the leaves, the stem, every part. We may have been throwing it away, but every part, do your research. So the Bible compares the life of the believer to a palm tree. He said, one, long life. So palm tree don't die. You know, God, the Bible talks about this in Romans 1. The things we can see point us to the fact that God actually exists. Say, the long leaf, stately. So, many other plants would have died, but the palm tree is still standing. Upright. Can you see that word again here? Useful. And then fruitful. Said they shall grow like a cedar. That's another one. In Lebanon. In other words, their lives as they are planted, they become majestic, stable, durable, incorruptible. They are planted in the house of the Lord. And then they flourish. So house, court. As they maintain their intimacy, they are not just in the house. They come into the inner circle of God. God begins to share secret of life with them. Look at what it says in verse 14. Verse 14. They are growing in grace. And they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap. As their days are, so shall their strength be. They are not bereft of ideas.
Even as stately, as state men and women, they are still being called to give counsel to the nations.
Said they shall be full of sap of spiritual vitality and rich in the verdure of trust, love, and contentment. So, Christianity is about life in Christ. The love of God is our cornerstone. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, you read it. Can we take it in the Amplified too? Classic. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. It said, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim and seek the rich eternal treasure that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died. And your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life? You probably don't hear much of this these days from the pulpit, but that's the truth. It's coming back. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in the splendor, not in shame, in the splendor. In Revelation, it says, when he comes, it's with so much awe and reverence that every eyes will see him. Even those who speak, every eye, because he is not. When you have, some of us probably have, when you, there are spaces you get to, maybe in your devotion, and you experience the awesomeness of his presence. Last song, not even the glory, the awesomeness of his presence. You can't even talk. I don't know how many of you have gotten there. It's tears. You are just overwhelmed. And for those of us who have experienced this, when you leave that space and somebody comes, if they are spiritually designed, they know that something has happened here. Now talk about the weight of what makes him God. That's what glory is. The weightiness of his personality. If he comes, he comes in glory. Every eye shall see him. So the church is built on the revelation of Christ. Is built on the revelation that is the anointed one. Is the Messiah sent to save the world. Is built on the revelation that is the soon coming King. You know where two or three are gathered together? There he is among them. But also where two or three are gathered together, that's the beginning of politics. And sometimes it's more than PDP and APC kind of politics. That's church for you. And that tells you the human frailty that we are confronted with. But that's not the purpose of the church. That's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is that we get into brotherhood. You know, some of these court people, they understand these things. They borrow the word. What we have is brotherhood. We are initiated into the covenant by the blood of Jesus. If you read Revelation, that's what he said. He said, all these men from every nation, from every kingdom, from every tongue, they are brought nigh. In Ephesians, he said, we've been brought nigh by the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews, he said, it's an everlasting covenant that we have. You know, the ones, Abraham, all these patriarchs of faith, it was like a shadow. In the New Testament, it's by his own blood. He entered so that we can have access. So we get into this brotherhood by confessing Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Romans 10:10. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. He's a brand new species.
It has never existed before. All things are of God who has made this possible. In Galatians 3:28, talks about our new life. Galatians 3:28 said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one. All one. All one. I said this often. The person on drug has been redeemed by the blood. The person on the Yaba bridge this morning has been redeemed. The person on Yaba left has been redeemed. Yaba right has been redeemed. Yaba up, Yaba down has been redeemed. You are a member of the body of Christ. That's the foundation today for this message. This membership is not bondage. This membership is not a cult movement. This membership is commitment to God who purchased the church with his own blood. So membership is not a bad word. It means commitment and freedom to grow into Christ. And to close this message this morning, I say three things quickly, because your relevance should be felt not just in the universal church, but in the local church. So number one, the local church is the grand or pillar, or is the grand and pillar of truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul was setting order in the church. He says, if I delay in my coming, he said, I write that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. John 14:6. I mean, people talk these days, they are looking for reality. They are looking for truth. I've said this once. If you are on that search, it means if you start your journey there, by the time you are ending your journey there, at the end of that journey, you'll find Jesus. Because John 14:6 says, I am the way, and not one of the ways. I am the way. I speak little English. When you say something is the, it means it's ultimate. It's not a shadow. It's the main substance. So if you are looking for reality.com, Jesus. If you are looking for a healer, because people have spiritual healing, all these things that they do. When you go on that search, at the end, you find him. And when you find him, the horror of his presence, you just declare, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So all these other things are small hells, small lords, small king. But Jesus is the capital K, capital hell. Jesus is that ultimate. That, okay, there may be people like Pharaoh's servants, who can also turn rods into snakes. But there is that ultimate one that swallows everything. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Some people have never been confronted with truth all their lives. But the truth is that when you enter a local church anywhere, be ready for the truth, because that's what changes people's lives. That's why Jesus said, you will know this truth. And the truth shall make you free. He said, he who the Son, is not half measure. We who the Son, John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Paul had to reinforce it for us in Romans 8. People may tag you all sorts of things. They may tag you by your experiences of life. They may attack you by, that's the boy on the block. That's the bad. That's the baddest. That's the baddie. That's whatever they tag you. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation. So the church is the grant and the pillar of truth. Secondly, this morning, the church provides the truth for living. The church provides the truth. I may have my own customs. I may have my own mindset. Mindset means culture. I may have my own culture. But hey, if I want to run, I must follow Bible culture. So when it comes to living, marriages, you will find. When it comes to running business with integrity, you will find it in the scripture. When it comes to ethics and etiquette, what is showing you both sides? Ethics and etiquette, you will find it in the book of Proverbs. How to live. How to live. And you will agree with me, in case you don't agree with me, go and check it. If a man will write the Bible, if a woman will write the Bible, you will never find Ephesians 5:22 there. Wives, if it's a man, you will never find Ephesians 5:25. If it's a man who wrote the Bible, you'll never find husband. Love your wife. And how does he say? Die for her. That's what he says. That's the literal meaning of that word. You know, when we are in the heated argument as couple, yes. The truth is that every man should be committed to their wife. Hey, as Christ is committed to the church. And how was Christ committed to the church? He shed his own blood. And that's why he's sacrificial love. That's why he's not feeling. You may have heard the song, what love got to do with it. Love, it has a lot to do with it. You have this song, I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. It's only God who can show you. That's why if it's a child who wrote the Bible, you will never find children, Ephesians 6. Obey your parents, it will never be. I was sharing with him. I was watching a cartoon with Jeremiah this last week. And inside that cartoon is just one of these funny humanist scripts. So two kids were discussing. They said that, let's deal with these adults who will never allow us to do our own thing. And so what was it? They were giving him superpower. When they want to misbehave, they just freeze their parents. So their parents is freezed. And then all misbehaving. And after they finish misbehaving, they unfreeze their parents. They've lost touch with time and all that. They will not know that they have misbehaved. I said, Jeremiah, are you ready to freeze your own parents? Of course, you know the answer. So, it's the church who provides us manual for living. Manual for living. There is nothing you want to try out that somebody has not tried out in the Bible. You want many wives? Try. Let's see whether you beat somebody's record. You want to follow Sangoma? That's what they call herbalists in South Africa. Try. Many people have done that. But you also want to live well. It's there. Choice is ours. You have long life. It's there. You want to do business with integrity? It's there. I mean, one of those scriptures, it was in Jeremiah. Said, when people do one chance kind of business, or when people try to yahoo other people. In Jeremiah 17, he said, as the partridge brood over an egg and does not hatch it. He said, so is that person. He said he will be cut off in the midst of his years. And we see that evidence around us. People just take care of other people. So, the church provides us, the local church provides us with the truth for living. Some of us, we say our parents are giving us hassles. Do you know the secret to long life? Eh? Yeah. It's as simple as that. Oh. It's not multivitamins that the secret of long life. So honor your parents. Honor. It's as simple as that. You know, God's commandments are not grievous to us. They are simple. That's why he says in Job 36, 11, when they obey and serve me, they spend their days in prosperity and years in pleasure. Isaiah 119 says, if you are willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Lastly, this morning, the local church provides opportunity for love, care, accountability, and fellowship. For love, care, accountability, and fellowship. But you know the problem the devil does with that. Because people have never experienced love. They've never experienced accountability. They've never experienced care, maybe by virtue of their placement in life. So even when they come to a local church, they fight it. But let me settle you in very well this morning. 2 Corinthians, as I close, chapter 13, verse 13. So what am I saying? Hey, develop friendship. You know, in those days in fellowship, no. Is it what I'm finding out, what we usually do? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest with us. Then, is it 2 Corinthians? Can I have the last verse? The person on the console, is that the last verse? Okay. Give us this in the Amplified Classic. Maybe we need to pause a little bit to understand it. That's what the church is. Can we read together this morning, brother, sister? Hold on, because you have been reading it from Sunday school. What does that grace mean? And so that's how to interpret in Amplified. So it's not by sowing seed. Can you see it now? You know, people sow seed for favor, they sow seed for... I'm not saying don't sow seed, don't get me wrong. But hey, there is a connection. You don't isolate one for the other. Let's go again. Just breathe in slowly. Can you see it now? I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The devil still kill and destroy. But there is a grace that is in the Lord. And that grace is not just ordinary grace. It puts in the believer favor and spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3 says, we are blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He's still in Christ. In Christ. Not outside him. Let's go. And the world. He didn't say the love of man. He didn't say the love of our husband or the love of a boyfriend. You know, these are things that just tear people apart. The love of God, we sang about it this morning, is a reckless love. Why? You know why it's a reckless love? Romans 5:8. Why we are yet sinners? Christ died for the ungodly. It's a reckless love. Nothing matches it. But look at the dispensation that we are in. Can we read? So the presence is there, but you have to cultivate what? The fellowship, the intimacy, the koinonia, the intercourse. I'm sure that when I first mentioned that word earlier on, some people are saying, this boy has become carnal. Why is he saying intercourse? That holy word. But that's what koinonia means. That's what fellowship means. The same, in fact, much more than that experience. Much more than orgasm. That's the pure heaven that many people enjoy in the natural. But much more than that, we can cultivate that koinonia. That acknowledgement of his presence before MTN discovered that word everywhere you go. So, that fellowship, what does it mean? 1, 2, 3, go. So, you don't come to church to receive. So, when we gather, somebody has a song. Somebody has a smile. Somebody has a word. Somebody has an exhortation. So that's what it means. The communion, the sharing together, and then the what? How? In where? In our denomination? In our bishop? In our man of God? Be with you what? And so, can you understand when we say amen? You understand the meaning now this morning? So be it. You can't change it. You can't change it. I want us to go over it again. The grace, I want you to take that. Then the love of God. And then the presence and the fellowship. So that's what the church is. Your brethren may be on your neck. Your brother, your sister may be on your neck. For the fact that I'm the black sheep of my family, do they disown me? Even when they disown me, somebody is sending SMS. Somebody is still sending money to me. We know you are stubborn, but how are you? So, that's the church. It's a ground and the pillar of truth. It's a place where God helps, wants us to develop friendship. As somebody says, I've been hurt severally. That's the church. Because there is no perfect church anywhere. If there is any, the moment you walk through their door, you have corrupted them. Because you are not perfect yourself. That's why Paul will have to write later. He said, bear with one another in love. Let's lean to this love of God. Sometimes we need to let go of what you call your rights. Because those rights may be actually entitlement mentality. Your communion with your brothers and sisters, your sharing together, and then your participation is necessary. The church is the only place where you find this kind of people together. That's it. And you can put it in context anywhere that people are gathered. That's where you find the rich, the more rich, the middle rich, the less rich, the non-rich. That's where you find the educated, the non-educated, the non-educated. That's the church. And then you gather. And when everybody is praying, it's in the name of Jesus. Because that prayer also has the tendency to change the non-rich. Yeah, that's the church. Is a transformation center. It's an hospital. And if you're a doctor, you say, I don't want smell. I'm just prim and proper. Don't close that hospital. Because when you enter into the lobby, that's when you know that it's an hospital. It may not, hygiene is there, but it still smells. It might be something from somebody's pores. That's it. The church is full of broken people. They are broken. Life has broken. People are broken.
But when they come, like we are here this morning, I'm sure that you sat here this morning, things have happened in your life,
which may not even be the ministry of the word. It may be through the music. It may be just by sitting. Somebody just smiled to you by your side. The church is that only platform where you have it.
You put it in other contexts, it is business.
Rotary gathered together is business.
It's networking. It's leverage. The church is transformation.
I want you to live with this. That church is not only the transformation center, it is the center for humanity. The church is the hope of our world. Local church is the hope of the believer and is the hope of our world. If there is no church, we are all doomed. That's the reality. If there is no church, it means there is no Holy Spirit. If there is no Holy Spirit, it means there is no order. If there is no order, it means it's chaos. Can you see how these things are? So wherever you go, shine your light. Shine your light for all to see. Shine your light for all to see. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have, that we belong to you. Thank you because you are our Father. We thank you for the grace, the favor, the spiritual blessing that you have released upon us. Thank you for your love that is perfecting us, maturing us on a daily basis. But thank you also for the privilege to share the third head of the Godhead with us. Thank you for the communion, the fellowship. Lord, thank you for your manifest presence. Thank you for that assurance beyond reasonable and unreasonable doubt that you are with us. Lord, as my brothers and sisters, as we all go into this week, let this week be a week of blessing, a week of grace, a week of your favor, a week that you will give us the opportunity to show your love. Thank you for anyone who is broken in this service. Thank you for healing and restoration. Anyone who is sick in their body, we command the spirit of infirmity, your power is broken. Get out of those bodies. Healing, health, and wholeness. We thank you, Lord, for anyone who is troubled. You will garrison their hearts and minds together with your peace. This is a week of opportunity, a week of favor, a week of access into new things that you have for us. We bless you. We honor you. Strengthen your church, the universal church, oh God, and strengthen all the local churches, including ours. Help us to stand and represent you well to our generation. We thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' precious name.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center, The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,